The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. 9 o'clock hour underway. 866-660-5759. Let me tell you a little bit of what lies ahead. Obviously, continuing services and tributes and things for the victims of the Allen mass shooting, and properly so. There was one that was sponsored by the Asian American Historical Society, and this was a gathering of folks and some, from everywhere, from India to Korea and everywhere in between. And they, their sort of passion of the moment is to reach some level of clarity on the degree to which this seems to have been a hate crime. I'm totally prepared to believe that it was. I mean, if a guy, festooned with swastikas and SS logos, decides to choose a public space to ply his evil trade in an area of DFW that is maybe one of the fastest growing, diverse populations. I mean, you don't know it because he's not exactly available for comment, being dead. But I think that's a fair conclusion. And so I don't know. So they Aaron Jones did a piece on that from Channel 11. And you know where I am on hate crimes, right? Is there such a thing? Of course there is. Am I okay with them being identified as such? Sure. I think there's something different between, shooting somebody because you want their wallet and shooting somebody because they're black or white or Jewish or Hispanic or whatever. Now, the problem I reach is when we all of a sudden identify it as some kind of way different crime, like it's worse now. Like what? I mean, like if you mow down and kill 8 people who just happen to be white or happen to be anything. And where it seems that racial or religious bigotry had nothing to do with it, that is somehow, I don't know, maybe just a little less onerous, a little less heinous than if it's a hate crime. Yeah, that goes right at the core of one of the most central beliefs that anybody can have, and that is that when we talk about all lives being sacred, they are all, all innocent lives. They're all equally sacred. There's nothing that's like extra bad about whom you kill and why. Now, is it worth noting this as a subset, as a part of the information on the motivation of part of the ailments in our society? Of course, we got to keep track of all these violent lunatics and the degree to which they are energized and motivated by their racism, racial or religious bigotry in some cases. Of course, that's something to keep track of. So we'll take a look at that. Amid the continuing Durham report aftermath, don't take your eye off the ball, because every day you're going to continue to get scare tactics and pressure tactics about the debt ceiling, about the debt limit negotiations between when I say between Biden, like he's even aware of what's going on in the room, between the Biden administration and whoever's pulling the strings on that today, and the House and the Congress on the debt limit. Every single thing that you hear is going to be designed on having Republicans cave and give in and surrender on the things that they have attached to the debt limit increase that they have graciously agreed to, if we just take care of a few things that will help make America more fiscally sane. So we have that. Mike Lee, a Republican senator of Utah, was on Fox just in the last hour talking about his Durham report reactions, and he actually touched on some thing. It's when you talk about defunding the FBI. The last call of the last hour was great. We can just sort of want to get vindictive and doggone it, FBI, I'll show you. We'll slash through some of your budget. But that could hurt some of the good law enforcement things that the FBI is doing. You don't want to do that. But Senator Lee says, sit tight. There might be some things that we can do. And I'm actually going to play that here in about 60 seconds. In those 60 seconds, let me tell you whom we will welcome at 9:35. Tarrant County Judge Tim O'Hare, our friend Tim O'Hare. The congressman whose district covers a good bit of Fort Worth, 33rd District Democrat Mark Veazey, wants to, speaking of the politicization of federal law enforcement, wants to sic the Department of Justice onto Tim O'Hare because Tim O'Hare, God forbid, is really interested in keeping Tarrant County's elections clean and reliable. And it's funny because in a straw man argument for the ages, people have said, hey, you know, Tarrant County is not, you know, like one of those counties. I mean, Harris County had some irregularities, you think? Dallas County did. You know, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania had all kinds of controversy. Tarrant County, Texas was not exactly a hotbed of horrid corruption and terrible election security issues. Okay. But just because it wasn't the worst means it can't be made better. And I'm always interested at who pushes back when people start to talk about election security. Who are the people for whom that is kryptonite? And the answer is many on the left. The elections administrator in Tarrant County, a gentleman named Hyder Garcia, quit in a huff not long ago, had some cryptic grumbling about how Tim O'Hare and I don't see eye to eye on election security. Okay, dude, there's the door. Bye. You know, so meanwhile, Tim O'Hare, freshly elected county judge in Tarrant County, says he is still interested in having an election integrity task force. This is great. Who in the world could be against this? So anyway, Tarrant County Judge Tim O'Hare will join us at 9:35. We'll ask him for a reaction to having a United States Congressman, Representative Veazey, and I think five others similarly motivated to essentially call on the Department of Justice to investigate Tim O'Hare as if he's a Klansman for wanting as clean an election system as possible in Tarrant County. Good grief. Truly, these are days where no good deed goes unpunished. All right, Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah on Fox just a few minutes ago.
This shows that our nation's premier law enforcement agency was able to take political motivations and weaponize them into our criminal justice system to undertake an investigation against a presidential candidate who they didn't want to win. Mm-hmm. The fact that they got away with this and did so in the absence of even a scintilla of legitimate evidence to support it is not just an affront to the Constitution, but it's a threat to the very concept of popular sovereignty, the idea that our government is of the people, by the people, and for the people.
You know, I'm going to pause for a second. Speaking of credit where credit is due, somebody had a tweet overnight. How vague is that? Somebody had a tweet. So I'm quoting somebody, and I'll go find it later. And it essentially said, look, I was always kind of skeptical about this stuff, the person said. I never liked Trump very much. I think Biden won fair and square, you know, listing A, B, C as his beliefs. But he said, but look, truth be told, if you can't see how horrible this is, there's something the matter with you. You should feel way worse about this than January 6th. This FBI corruption story, these findings of the Durham report, this isn't just a handful of lunatics run wild for 3 hours, interrupting briefly a congressional process. This was an entire wing of federal law enforcement working tirelessly for 3 years to subvert an American election. You tell me which one is worse. I thought that was beautifully phrased. Senator Lee continues.
The implications of this cannot be overstated, and we've got to make sure that this is weeded out completely. But there are going to have to be major consequences for the FBI and the Department of Justice over this.
Yes, Senator, what will those consequences be? What do you plan on doing?
Here we go.
Well, look, for one, I continue to wonder why we have agreed to fund $500 million for a new FBI headquarters. I continue to wonder whether we need a major restructuring at the FBI, a complete decentralization of law enforcement power within the federal government, because we've seen that these are the consequences, and these are consequences that our country can't endure.
Senator, so this happened back in 2016, 2017. For the most part, all those people are long gone, and they were at the pinnacle of this investigation. It's extraordinary that people under them didn't say, hey, did you see what they're doing?
Not extraordinary. That's how deep the problem goes.
There, because I don't think that's right.
People under them didn't say that, Steve, and people over them didn't say it either, which is exactly why I think we're going to have a major overhaul and a restructuring of this system that's in place. And let's keep in mind, this wasn't just an abstract affront. This was something that ruined lives, that destroyed careers. There were scores of people affected by this, and ultimately it had an impact on electoral politics, on the ability of the Trump administration to do what it needed to do, and quite possibly even on the 2020 election.
Hillary Clinton got away with a fine. She launched the dossier, paid for it. John Brennan briefed President Obama that she was up to doing this. So they kept it to themselves and watched this whole thing play out. They watched the launching of this FBI investigation into the campaign, to when he was president-elect and to when he was president. Then we get the Mueller report. At the same time, what's also revealed, and not separate, is the Twitter files, which will show the social media working against Trump's second attempt to get 4 years in office, and then the Zuckerbucks that flooded into key zones in order to stop Trump from winning again. This has got to be somewhat intimidating for a Republican that expects to win office, knowing that all these levers of government, along with a counter campaign, were working against you.
We've known for a long time that the deep state was alive and well. What we didn't know, at least not to this degree, was that the deep state heavily plays even in our criminal law enforcement agencies. And so at the end of the day, the founding fathers made a wise choice by not putting the power to run elections in the hands of the federal government. It put it with the states. Right. But whereas here you've got this massive behemoth of a federal law enforcement agency that can affect those, we see that that, too, imperils the structure of the Constitution, which is why we need a major overhaul.
That is Senator Mike Lee. And the deep state point that he makes, still something which is sneezed at by many. Deep state, what's that? The easiest definition of the deep state is unelected people who've been entrenched for a long time in various agencies who are letting their will take hold without being accountable to the American public. A member of Congress that runs afoul of the public mood can get, you know, unelected every 2 years in the House, every six in the Senate. Presidents can lose their reelection bids or be impeached, et cetera, et cetera. The deep state folk are beyond our reach. Now, if it's somebody who's in a regulatory job, somebody who is in an administrative job at an agency like the FDA or whatever, with various fingers on various parts of our lives, that's one thing. And they are all able to mobilize against a president they don't like, and certainly did so with Trump. But when they are in law enforcement, when there are trolls and troublemakers like this in the FBI and in the Department of Justice, that's a level of danger in our corruption platform that just cannot stand. All righty, 921-866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Great Sarah McLachlan and Drawn to the Rhythm.
Find some comfort there, yearning to feel free.
866-660-5759. A lot of people were drawn last night in Dallas to it's there have been so many vigils, so many services, and they're all wonderful. Anything that just puts us in the either puts us in the mind of God in terms of a religious service, or just helps us to emote in the way that we want to as fellow human beings after something horrible like the Allen massacre. Or in this particular case, the Asian American Historical Society wanting to draw attention. It seems like their, I don't want to call it a gripe yet, it seems like their interest is in saying, hey, can we reach some relative, you know, conclusion that this was a hate crime? And as I've said, you know, a few minutes ago, I think it is. I mean, you get a guy who's coated with Nazi tattoos showing up in one of our most diverse suburbs. You know, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, you know, it might be a racist duck. You know what I mean? Now, that doesn't. And again, the temptation these days and the reason a lot of people put the whole hate crimes thing at arm's length is because there are a lot of people who are trying to like create this like it's some other whole level of crime. Like, oh, it's really bad to kill somebody, but it's way worse to kill him because of this race or that religion or something. And I think that's kind of morally bankrupt. You know, killing is killing, murder is murder. But to pay attention to the motivations of some in an attempt to, you know, fight it, respond to it, address it, I think that's fine. So let's give a listen to Aaron Jones, Channel 11 last night at this event, because it's the other thing I'm always watchful for, and this happens sometimes, is the mobilization of an event to portray like an entire community, an entire area, an entire state, an entire country as a racist hellhole when these are famously isolated incidents. And when I call them isolated, I ain't minimizing nothing. But words have meaning. And there's a difference between a society in which something like this happens every, you know, couple of days or couple of weeks, in a society in which you have an attack like this, specifically one with a racist bent, every once in a while, and by the way, everybody condemns. There's nobody who is pro supremacy. There's nobody who is pro Klan, pro neo Nazi. This is not a subject of debate in today's America. But anyway, so let's see how this thing went last night.
Attending a vigil like this is a first for Allen resident Amir Saitu.
Unfortunately, a sad tragedy like this made me come to an event like this.
He says as the Asian community mourns the victims in the Allen mass shooting, there's also a strong sense of fear.
For me, as a person of color, there is also another angle that is there because this particular incident happens to be by a person who had a lot of neo-Nazi memorabilia, and you know, he had social media posts that were supporting such ideology.
And he's right. And so it's funny because people say, no white guy should ever, you know, start a sentence with, if I were an Indian, if I were black, if I were Korean, if I were South. But of course you do. Now, you may put yourself in those shoes and say something, you know, wildly uneducated, but if you're sincere and have goodwill, and because so here's my thing. So I'm thinking, if I'm this gentleman, would I, after the Allen massacre, would I think, wow, I might be next? Well, it wouldn't keep me from like leaving the house, but this is out there. And if it means your head's on a swivel a little more and you're a little more observant and a little more aware of some of the pathologies that afflict, you know, our national soul, then yeah, it is something that deserves to be paid attention to. All right, here's something. And there's more of this, but let me hop into the newsroom with Gordon Griffin. We're going to talk to Tim O'Hare. Congressman Mark Veazey, Democrat 33, wants the Department of Justice to pay attention to Tim O'Hare, for the sin of sticking up for election security in Tarrant County. We'll talk to him next. 9:31, here's Gordon. All right, home stretch on this Tuesday show, the 16th of May. No shortage of stuff. Aftermath of the Durham report. Various political things happening, various legislative events. But let's go into the heart of Tarrant County. Let's take a look at a county that, like all the counties in Texas, gets a lot of it, especially the big city counties, your Dallas, your Harris, you know, your Travis, et cetera. Tarrant gets a lot of attention. And around election season, it's like, okay, is everything clean? Is everything good? Is everything proper? Is everything going by the book? Is there any integrity issues, any law breaking, et cetera, et cetera? And one of the things a county judge wants to do is make sure that things are as clean as a whistle as possible. Now, was Tarrant County on like this list of shame of high value, horrible places where we're no. But could things always be better? Sure they could. So along came freshly elected County Judge Tim O'Hare to say, tell you what, in this era where there's so much attention being paid to corners being cut and rules being fudged and people doing bad things, how about if we have an election integrity force, like a unit that's going to make sure that our elections are as clean as possible? Well, I mean, what? So you have the elections administrator, Mr. Hyder Garcia. He takes leave for some reason. And now, for the sin of sticking up for election integrity, actual Congressman, 33rd District Congressman Mark Veazey, and five of his similarly aligned colleagues, have like written the Department of Justice saying, hey, DOJ, we got something you need to take a look at here. It's this Tarrant County Tim O'Hare guy. There's stuff going on here. Well, to find out as best we can what is going on, County Judge Tim O'Hare is here. Welcome, sir. How'd I do on the setup? Did I get that pretty right?
I think you pretty much nailed it. It's good to be with you. This is the first time I've been on the show as the county judge.
That is right. Cool. That's right. The last time people heard Tim O'Hare on the show, you were hosting it. It's so awesome.
It's been a while.
And I'm so grateful to you for that, and grateful to the friendship and for everything that you've done in various public and private capacities. So here you are, county judge. Let's take this chronologically. To those who would say, look, it's not like Tarrant was a hotbed of corruption and terrible things. Why does it need particular attention to election integrity? You would say what?
So there's a number of things. You know, when people hear election integrity, the first thing they think of is stuffing ballot boxes. But it's so much more than that. So, you know, we had a lady in the November 2022 election that was the election judge. That there was someone harassing her inside the voting location. I'm not talking about within the 100-foot marker. I'm talking about literally inside where the ballot books are, and she couldn't get the person to leave. The elections administrator wouldn't do anything about it. Literally said, "What do you want me to do about it? Just let it happen." The sheriff's office had to come out and make the man leave under threat of arrest. So you have that. You have issues where, you know, people file things. We had a Republican JP who forged signatures on the ballot. I mean, on his petition to get on the ballot, and that was uncovered. You've got people, and he resigned from his position. I think pled guilty to a felony or a lesser sentence, lesser crime, whatever it was. He was no longer in office. So you have people that are constantly seeing things happen. This past May election. Whatever it was 2 weeks ago, last day of early voting, one of the candidates running for Fort Worth City Council had a gentleman come outside and tell her he's hearing impaired. He talked to her on a machine where he types what he shows in the text, said he went inside and asked for hearing impaired help. And the person that came to help him said, you should vote for this person, which obviously wasn't the one he was trying to vote for. So this person called our office. We called the sheriff's office in elections. So elections didn't show up there for 2 hours and 15, 20 minutes while that person, literally the voter, was waiting for them to come. And then they never came. By the time they were there, he had left. And I think he stayed there like 2 hours. So there's things like that that happen all the time. But at the end of the day, Mark, we have laws on our books that are designed to make sure elections are fair and secure and honest and that people can trust them. And there's a large segment of the population right now that doesn't. And so the creation of the Election Integrity Task Force added no additional monies to the budget. It was existing personnel inside the Sheriff's Department and the District Attorney's Office. And there is a hotline number to call, deputies and investigators assigned to it. So if you run into these issues, you pick up the phone and call. I think they had, last I checked a few days ago, they had 52 pending cases that they were looking at of one degree or another.
What happened to the election administrator, a guy named Hyder Garcia? I think you were a part of his ascending to that post. What went south in that relationship?
Yeah, so make a long story short, Hyder on his own decided to leave. I didn't threaten to fire him. I didn't threaten to bring him up to be looked at fired. He decided to leave on his own. One of the last things he said to me was, Tim, you've never done anything other than ask me to follow the law and play it right down the middle. And I respect that. And then the next thing he said to me was, can we keep this quiet? I want to leave quietly. I'm not going to tell anyone, including my number two. Of course, I'll tell my wife, but that's it. Can we leave quietly? I said, sure. You know, go find what you want to find. Then after that, he then calls multiple people, goes out to the press. You can kind of read between the lines. What happened there is an elections administrator is supposed to remain neutral. They're not supposed to go into the parking lot with their cell phone, take pictures of voters' vehicles, and send them to people in the press. That happened. The elections administrator should not go down to Austin without the approval of the election commission or the commissioner's court and testify against election integrity bills. So he went down and testified against four election integrity bills, testified, I think, neutral on another, and then submitted comments to four other ones that he was against. And he said that he did it not as the representative of Tarrant County, but in his own capacity, well, which, I mean, you know what that means. So as the chair of the election commission and the chief political executive of the county, I'm not going to let people do things without being held accountable. So when I talk to him in my office and say, hey, this is not okay. It's not okay for you to go testify on these things without letting anyone know, without talking to anyone about it, especially knowing that we want to make sure people feel their elections are secure. And these were measures that I think by and large people supported around here. So at the end of the day, he decided to leave, and that's his prerogative, and we wish him well. And I think his last day is coming up here in just a few weeks.
Can you, before the testifying part, can you go back and give me another couple of seconds on the taking pictures of license plates in the parking lot thing? What?
Yeah, so there was an open record request done. I don't know by who. They sent it to us. And so he goes into the parking lot during one of the times where the public can come down to elections, takes a picture of somebody's vehicle, two or three pictures. And I don't remember what was on the vehicle, but they were obvious Republicans, probably Trump supporters, and they had shoe polish things on their windows. Things like, you know, we must have election integrity. We can't let democracy require secure elections. Don't let them steal our elections, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And then with his cell phone, and then he texts it to a reporter. And, you know, I would call them a far left reporter that is, you know, tries to undermine anything any Republican ever stands for in election integrity, texts it to the reporter and says, did you see this?
With the goal, well, with the goal of what? With the goal of making what point?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
Yeah. Okay.
When I asked him about it, his answer was, what? You don't want me talking to the media.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, do you not see a difference between talking to the media about elections and that? And I just got a look. So at the end of the day, I don't think they should be doing that to Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, or anybody else. That's not the role of an elections administrator.
Gotcha. And for the record, Mr.
Garcia,
you betcha. Mr. Garcia, you said he's got a couple of days left in public. He may then have zero desire to be on the radio. I always stick up for people's desire to be on the radio, and he's welcome on the show anytime, and Rhonda will reach out. So now we finally, in our last couple of minutes, get to today's headline, which is that Congressman Mark Veazey and about five other, I presume, Democrats in the House want the Department of Justice to look into what the heck is going on in Tarrant County. Is this the stigmatization of election security, that the supposition is that you must be doing things to what's the phrase of the moment? You must be doing things to suppress votes.
Well, Mark, you know the lawyer in me, so I read the letter and I want to go through line by line and just tear it apart. So, you know, one of the things in the letter is that they're concerned that me and other county officials will further diminish the voting rights of those we represent.
Further.
Have they been diminished to begin with? They haven't been.
Yeah.
He also puts in there to end the pattern in Tarrant County of voter intimidation and harassment. There is no such pattern, simply ludicrous. They're concerned with the lack of transparency regarding the creation of the Election Integrity Task Force, We had a press conference. There were probably 50 members of the press there. We sat there and took every question. I can go on and on and on. At the end of the day, this is what Democrats do. They try to get the federal government to come in and create a nanny state, run in and claim there's something wrong. They literally can't point to a single thing that we've ever done to suppress the vote
so,
in Tarrant County.
So about 30 seconds, your best response is, I mean, this is great, by the way, but is this kind of it to publicly make clear that this is ridiculous? Or is there some action you can take to counter this kind of scrutiny? This kind of persecution.
Yeah, you know, in this political world, people are used to, I put out a statement and somebody responds with a statement. Typically, when something is so dumb, it isn't worthy of a response. That's kind of typically the approach I take. At the end of the day, we're going to have an election integrity task force, and we're going to get a new elections administrator, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure people feel secure and confident in their elections, and no one will be suppressed. You know, who exactly is being suppressed?
I know.
People that want to cheat?
Yeah.
You know,
it's the perfect answer. Just keep your nose to the grindstone and keep doing the good things you want to do. But meanwhile, a member of Congress, Mark Vesey, and some of his henchmen want the Department of Justice to think that you're a racist. So, you might have to ramp something up at some point. They can't just
That's the old play.
Can't let that go.
They say it, they try to spread it. At the end of the day, I think we've reached a point in this country where the race card, just half the country buys it, half doesn't.
Well, let's see what develops. And meanwhile, we appreciate the update and appreciate what you do.
Yeah.
Tarrant County Judge Tim O'Hare, thank you, man. Appreciate your time.
You bet. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You betcha. 950, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. This is completely unintentional. We go from good feet to Little Feet, one of my favorite bands ever. And it took like a decade after the death of Lowell George for them to crank out another album in the late 1980s called Let It Roll, with Craig Fuller on the lead vocal with a little help from Linda Ronstadt on this wonderful, wonderful song called Voices on the Wind. So Little Feet from Let It Roll will take us out. For producer Ron Decay Moreland, technical guru Mr. Matt, thank you for those skills, and Mr. Gordon Griffin for news excellence. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Mike Gallagher is next. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis, Mark Davis Show Facebook page. Follow 660 AM The Answer on Instagram. And just get on out there and have a fantastic day. I'm Mark Davis. See you in the morning, 7 to 10. We'll see what else is going on right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.